KFA EDQ monitoring statewide one. Monitoring statewide one.
W-O-U-G-A-K-L-O.
KB8ZUZ. KB8ZUZ, N8WRO, Macomb County.
Oh, N8WRO, KB8ZUZ, I'm over here at 49 Mile Garage on top of the big hill. Just trying to figure out how to program one of these digital radios up. Thanks for the comeback, huh?
Yeah, no problem. Sounds like you got it right. Clear signal, no issues. You don't happen to belong to the St. Clair ARPSC group, Aaron and Riley's, by chance, do you?
No, I know them guys. I don't belong to any clubs right now. Just kind of hang out by myself here in the radio world.
All right. Well, you got the DMR t-shirt then. The signal's sounding great. N-A-W-R-O.
Okay, I appreciate it. I'll have to check things out, make sure everything is programmed up right. What a pain in the butt this thing is. But I'll get it figured out eventually. Thanks for the answer, Jim. I'm going to head back into this and see what else I can get in trouble with. N-A-W-R-O, KB8ZUZ.
KB8ZUZ from N-A-W-R-O. We'll be clear, but listening.
W-A-R-O, W-E-A-K-L-O.
N-A-W-R-O, go ahead.
Just wondering how you read me. My name's Greg here. I'm W-E-A-K-L-L, Greg here. I'm in Burton.
Hey, Greg, generally a good signal. There's a little digitalization, if that's a word, but you were readable. I may have missed a little bit of that transmission, but let's go with, oh, I don't know, 95% readable. Other than that, that's a good signal. N-A-W-R-O, Richmond.
Okay, yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, I'm just on a Yaesu FT-5D with an Open Spot 4 Pro. So I'm just trying it out here on the MI-5 network. Over.
Yes, sir, that one was much better. And I got the map out. I printed out a map with all their pins open. So which machine are you on, by chance, then?
I'm actually on a an Open Spot 4 Pro, and I'm cross-moding from C4FM to the MI-5 network through Brandmeister.
Yeah, I missed that, so yeah, that makes sense now. Well, you're sounding good, and...
N-A-W-R-O-W-T-A-K-L-O. We'll appreciate it. I think I hear you over on the FBI network as well, talking with Tom G-G-G-G-O or something like that. I can't remember his call sign off the top of my head, but I hear you guys talking quite a bit. Okay, thanks again. W-T-A-K-L-O. We'll be clear after yours.
Sure thing, anytime. Yeah, that's KC8KJO Tom, and I think he's over in the Grand Rapids area today, so I'm wondering if he might check in on one of their repeaters coming back this way on statewide one here. But yeah, you have a good day. Happy to help anytime. N-A-W-R-O, clear but monitoring.
KB8ZUZ from KF8DPP. KB8ZUZ from KF8DPZ. Your APRS on your radio is sending out text messages over statewide one. KB8ZUZ from KF8DPZ. Your APRS is beaconing your GPS coordinates over statewide one.
This is K-E-A-W-U-O. Was that call sign sending their APRS over statewide one? Was that K-F-A-D-P-Z? If so, I know who it is, and I will reach out to them.
Good morning, John. This is K-F-A-D-P-Z. It's not me sending them. It is K-B-8 ZUZ.
Go ahead, Jim. Yeah, you might have heard he's a newer GMR guy. He's out of St. Clair. His name's Jim, KV8ZUZ. So appreciate you trying. I don't know what else we can really do. I don't have mine tuned for that, so I'm actually not hearing it. But I'd have to have that open, I would assume, to hear it, correct? Go ahead, Cliff.
Well, what's happening, Tim, is that his APRS system on his radio is shooting it out as an SMS message over statewide one. Basically, it's coming out as a text message. And it's doing it like every 60 seconds.
He must only be sending it to you because I'm not getting it.
Yeah, I guess that's where I was going with that. Is I'm not receiving it on any of mine, so I wonder if he's sending it directly to you somehow. Well, why would that be? I don't know. It's a mystery, but let's keep an eye on it, I guess, in AWRO.
All right, copy that. These Baofeng DM32 UVs, they are capable of doing text messaging over the RF wave. So he's pushing out that way. I have no idea what kind of radio he's using. So anybody with one of these, turn it on, see if they start getting it, I guess.
Yeah, it's weird because I got your text message the other day and I've received a few others on statewide one, but I'm definitely not getting that. And I'm not sure what's going on. This is KE8WUO. Morning, Tim. Morning, Cliff.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I got my DM32 back from Dean, so I'm going to be playing with it and see if I can receive that as well. All right, thanks, guys. I'll be monitoring NAWRO.
All right, copy that, Tim. John, I'm going to back on out of here. I got some stuff I got to go do. So I'm going to say 73 to you guys for right now, and... everybody have a good one today. KF8PPZ, clear out for your final.
All right, well, good luck, and hope that resolves soon, because a text message every 30 or 60 seconds would get old pretty quick. So, all right, well, I'll be clear and monitoring as well. KE8WUO.
Kilo Bravo 8. Zulu Uniform Zulu. Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Uniform Zulu. This is KF8DPZ. Would you please turn off your APRS system? You are trashing my radio with SMS messages.
Hey, Cliff, just to let you know, I am getting them over here now that I turned the DM32 on. I'm getting them just like you are, so... I guess I'll keep listening. NAWRO. KB8ZUZ. Jim, if you copy, this is NAWRO. Hey, Cliff, you probably configured it inside of the side and maybe you've walked away, so I don't know what more we can do. So let's just let it go for now and monitor it, I guess. NAWRO.
All right, copy that, but basically it's going off every 30 seconds, and as far as I'm concerned, it's making my digital radio useless today, so I'm just going to leave the thing at home and turn it off.
You are correct, and it is not just happening to you. It appears to be everyone, so we'll see what happens. Appreciate the tip there. I missed it before. NAWRO.
Hey, guys, are we talking on this talk group? Because I haven't seen a thing. So it could be a setting that you could disable or something.
Thanks, Cliff. I appreciate that. But that was Sean on there. Sean, let me ask you a question on that. Is digital allowed on statewide one over what we normally do, voice?
I don't believe so. I don't believe, but I don't know. You'll have to ask Jeff or Fred or one of them. I don't think so. As you can see, it causes a problem. Of course, you know, seems also excessive. But that being said, for some reason, I'm not seeing it. My radio has been sitting here quiet until you guys keyed up. So I don't know if there's, are we talking on this talk group here, 51? Is there perhaps a setting you can do just to make, you know, just to get through the day till we get to, I'm sure it's a user, a new user error or something like that, but new to DMR. But I am not seeing it, so I'm just wondering if there's a solution you could employ just to keep your sanity for the day.
Yeah, that's the same issue that I had with me, is the Connect system here in the base. I wasn't getting it, and Cliff went on and notified, and then I turned the HD on, the DM32, and it comes over the DM32. So I don't know, because I'm not getting it on the base, but I do get it on the DM32. So to be determined, I guess. I'm not exactly sure what more we can do, but that'd be great. Maybe we just turn something off on the receive side. But then next time I talk to Jeff, I'll ask and see, is it, you know, allowed at all on statewide one? You know, their sandbox will do what they want.
Okay, yeah, I just was commenting on that. So you got the same thing going on. One radio does, one doesn't. It's a Band-Aid, you know, until you get it resolved, you know, correctly. But it is a way, you know, I empathize, you know, that these radios kind of useless with that popping up all the time. So there was just a way to get around that for the day. All right, let you guys carry on. I got to get back to it myself. WAFU.
Very good, sir. Thank you. NAWRO, clear the monitoring. KE8YNU, NAWRO.
Hey, Tim. What's up?
No big issue or anything, but since you're available, do you have time to drop into Command 1 and Discord, or you want to do it a little bit later? No rush.
I've got about 20 minutes. If we can make it 20 minutes, that's fine. If not, we can do it after my wife's appointment. If you're good with that.
Probably more like a 5-minute consult.
Okay, yep, I'll be here in like 2 seconds.
Yes, why? NAWRO, clear.
KWNU monitoring.
K8WUO, NAWRO. When you got a minute, John?
Go ahead.
Yeah, on regards to the Discord chat, I haven't heard any recently, have you? They seem to have stopped, at least on my side.
Copy that. No, I've never heard any. I'm thinking they're APRS, and so our Motorola radios and whatnot aren't receiving and decoding the APRS, so that's why we're not getting them. But other people's radios that have APRS data are probably getting it. At first, I was a little confused because he's not showing up on APRS.fi, but then it kind of makes sense because he's not broadcasting on the right frequency, so it's not receiving him properly. But we all are, so we're unlucky, I guess. But hopefully he got it figured out.
Yeah, that was the same issue with me, and also with Sean as well. His did not catch it. But when I turned the DM32 on, I was catching it. I've still had the DM32 on for the last, you know, half hour or so. The last 10 minutes or so, I haven't heard anything. So maybe it's been resolved. So, you know, I think we're all set. But, that's that. NAWRO, clear after you.
All righty. Well, yeah, I think that's my explanation of what's going on, is it must be APRS data. And only radios that are capable of receiving and decoding APRS messages are getting it. So I guess that kind of makes sense and is interesting that it's able to go over DMR, I guess, but I don't know. I'm not an expert. But that is the only logical explanation I can come up with. But otherwise, this is KE8WUO. I'll be clear but monitoring.
Copy that. Thank you, John. NAWRO, clear.
What are you guys actually seeing? Are you just getting the screech of a packet, or is it doing this like a text message or something?
I missed that, so if you got it, Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, and the DM32 radios that's showing up as, I think it's APRS, but I can't get back to it right now, so I can't really, it's not like... But it's going out to multiple radios, so. But it has stopped right now. It is not happening now. So, you know, maybe we can just stand down for now, and I just didn't want to make too big of a deal. But one of our members was ill. But I think we're good now. I've been monitoring for over 15 minutes with nothing, so I think we're all set. Appreciate it, Lance.
Yeah, I'm just curious what you're actually getting, because it's APRS, it's analog, so it shouldn't be going through the system. So if you're getting it, it would be getting simplex, but I'm not sure what you're actually seeing on your end.
All right, that might be a lesson for us to learn then, if that's the case. Yeah, I had, I think his name's Jim, I had a brief QSO with him earlier this morning, and he said he was just getting his DMR configured, everything sounds good, and kind of a short QSO, but then a little time after that, that's when the messages started. So he must have been beaconing out something, but it was coming over the HT DMR radios. I don't know. To be determined, but I'm going to look into it. So appreciate all the help, but I think we're good. NAWRO, clear.
There are definitely some weaker strings there. So what was happening there? But anyway, what are you doing?
KDHW, KDALAX.
K-E-A-W-U-O. Did you call me? You kind of broke up.
That's affirmative. I've just got my motorcycle helmet on, and I'm testing the Bluetooth on this radio, so I figured I'd give you a call and see how the audio levels are.
Well, it's coming through just fine, but it's pretty shaky. It's kind of sounds digitally and, you know, a little rough, but I would say you're perfectly readable, but I suppose it's not to Victor Delta standards, as Tim likes to call it. But I think it will suffice. But I would try not to use it unless you have to.
A little low on the volume too, Dean. NAWRO.
Thanks, Tim. Yeah, that part can be played with. Like I said, I haven't tried Bluetooth on this radio yet, so. There might be some changing around to do. And if I can't get a stable connection from the Bluetooth that makes it sound good, then it might be something I don't use.
Yeah, that sounded a little better towards the start of the transmission. So it's, I don't know if maybe there's like a distance from the transmitter to, you know, the Bluetooth or whatever, or from the radio to the transmitter, whatchamacallit, But and it got a little rougher towards the end, and there's a little bit of static in there. But it's not horrible. It's, I don't know. If people are upset about the choo-choo train, I think they might not like that. But I can, to me, it's not horrible, but it's not Victor Delta for sure.
For me, just it's readable, perfectly readable, but too low, low volume.
Okay, I turned it off, but yeah, no, I was just testing because I had a little bit of extra time while I'm setting up this antenna, so I appreciate it, but yeah, there's a bunch of settings for gain in, gain out, and a bunch of other stuff, and with the Cardo Pack Talk on the helmet, there is some Bluetooth range issues. If something's like right on top of it, which I did have it right by my helmet, sometimes I do get a shaky connection even with other units. I have to, you know, get 20, 30 feet away sometimes with other helmets to make them connect properly. So I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Definitely play with it. Don't give up on it yet. It, like Tim said, it's perfectly readable. It's really not that bad. It's just not your normal crystal clear, you know, audio. But it's not horrible. I don't know. It could probably sneak by fairly easily. But yeah, play, boost up those audio levels a little bit, and maybe that'll help it come in a little clearer. Not sure, but. Cool. Well, it sounds fun. I'd be curious how it sounds while you're driving. I assume your helmet is a full face mask, so
you probably wouldn't get a lot of road noise, but maybe a little bit of motor, I don't know. But that's cool. That'd be really neat to be able to use that while riding.
Yeah, I agree with John. Don't give up yet, and that would be interesting to hear it while you're riding.
Well, the Cardo has some crazy noise canceling capabilities. That's connecting to the radio as if it were like a Bluetooth phone. And I've talked to people on numerous occasions that didn't even know I was on the bike. You can tell when I'm on the highway, but you can still hear me. I'm sure that people on the radio might get a little annoyed by that one, but if I'm just driving in the city, most people on the cell phone can't even tell I'm on the bike.
Gotcha. Well, give it a test later on and let us hear. We're all curious now.
I second the motion in AWRO.
Right, I'll dig deeper into this. I've got a Bluetooth push button that this radio came with, so I'll see if it lets me pair the two devices, and I'll turn up the levels real quick because I leave to pick up the kid here in probably about 15 minutes. So when I hit the road, I will test.
Sounds good to me. All right, well, I will let you go, but I'll be clearing monitoring. Over to you, Tim.
Myself as well. Safe travels. NAWRO clear.
73 guys, I'll talk to you in just a few. This is Kilo Echo 8, Lima, Alpha X-ray, clear.
K-E-8-L-A-X.
K-E-8-W-U-O. Go ahead, Dean.
Hey, John, this is going to be a brief test because my push-to-talk button isn't quite working right, but I did bump that gain up a little bit. How's that sound?
Sounds pretty good to me. I don't, a little bit of background noise, very small, but I'm hearing you a lot louder, that's for sure.
Fair enough. Once I turn this corner, I'll call back out and see how much road noise you have, because I'm just I'm sitting at 26 and 26 and New Haven Road.
Gotcha. Okay. Nice. 26 in New Haven. I used to work somewhere over there. But cool. Driving around the motorcycle, I take it. A little cold today or no?
No, it's not too bad. How's the road noise now? I'm currently doing 45.
It's tolerable. It's kind of quiet and in the background. You can hear it, you know, so it doesn't quite sound like full quieting. A little bit of fuzz back there, but for the most part, you know, you're perfectly readable.
So if I were using this, I would have to announce that I'm on the motorcycle, so hopefully somebody would grant me some leniency.
Yeah, I don't know that you need to announce it, but, you know, if someone asks, hey, why is there so much static in your signal, you can just let them know, I'm riding the motorcycle and I'm connected via Bluetooth, so... There might be a little less than perfect signal there, but for the most part, I mean, you sound pretty good.
Very cool. I appreciate it. I'm doing 60 down 26 mile right now, and coming through the Bluetooth, the audio from you is immaculate. It's actually almost clearer than hearing it from the radio, but... either way, all right, so it works, and I can play with it a little bit more if the time comes, but I also didn't realize my PPP button was dead, so there's not a whole lot I could do with that. That's why it's brief, because I have the radio clipped to my vest jacket, and I'm just holding the PPP on the radio. Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray.
I like it. Adapt, improvise, and overcome. That's what they say, or something like that. But cool. Yeah, no, you sound pretty good. I have no complaints. It has like a digitally type sounding, you know, like it, you can tell that there's some compression going on or something. I don't really know how to articulate what I'm hearing, but it doesn't sound bad. It sounds pretty good. It's just definitely not like a native DMR signal. It's got something else going on. But for the most part, I mean, like I said, it sounds pretty good. I feel like most of us are pretty used to picking people out of the noise of analog, and this is nothing like that. So I think I could carry on a QSO with you for quite some time without complaint. But the other people might, I don't think many people will disagree, but I don't know. I've been surprised before.
QSO, well, there's still a whole lot of Bluetooth settings in this radio for times, and there's like 8 different game settings. There's a bunch of stuff, so I might go in there and play with it, but it's not really a necessity. I was just, curiosity killed the cat, and I wanted to test it.
Yeah, no, I think the more I hear it, the more it sounds fine to me. I can kind of tell that it's probably Bluetooth, but no, it sounds pretty acceptable to me.
Sounds good. Well, I'm gonna jump out here. I'm getting ready to pull into the school now, and I'm working on that antenna. I think I have something that's gonna work out for me. Stand by for a second. Had to make a turn. So I think I have something that's gonna work. So I'm gonna try to put that up this evening if at all possible. But not having this one hand for the handlebars, I'm gonna jump off here, but I really appreciate it, John, and we'll be talking soon. This is Kilo Echo 8 Lima Alpha X-ray, and I will be clear on your final.
All righty. Well, have a good one. Safe driving, and stay away from the idiots out there. KE8WUO.
N8VDZ mobile monitoring, statewide 1.
Good afternoon, Mike and ABDZ. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon. Is this John?
Yes, sir. This is KE8WUO.
Hey, I'm doing good, John. How are you doing today? Well, that sounds like good news. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good today. Got a little confab with Dave today, and we talked about some ideas, and he threw some stuff off me, and I threw some stuff back off him, and we talked about a bunch of things, and very excited about some of the things that we're putting together for the formation of the team and the company, so to say, the incorporation part, just getting that all in line, and so got a bunch of work to do because of it, but it's exciting that we've made some decisions and are moving stuff forward.
Yeah, I agree. It is pretty exciting. It's interesting to see the transition, too. So that's been kind of an eye opener for me because I didn't really know what to expect, and pretty interesting, and it's a lot of fun, and like you said, it is a lot of work though, and a lot of paperwork and filings and all that. So, well, I'm glad you're having fun.
Yeah, and if I was at GM still. This would be work, man. Oh, are you kidding me? I got to redo all this paperwork. I've already done it once. And I got to redo stuff. And, oh, man, why? But you know what? I'm retired now, and this is cool stuff. It's important stuff. It's important to me, as it's important to Dave and everybody on the team. But, it's important to me. So having to do it again and differently and update and fix and change and it is fun. It is getting it right and I like it. I'm having fun. So yeah, I'm just one of the things I had to do some running around just coming back from Kroger now. and get my stuff for lunch so I can make my lunch, and then I'll be moving on from there with other with that stuff that I need to do.
Yeah, it's like a never-ending pool of work that it seems, which is a good thing. You know, it's kind of cool because we are kind of in the beginnings of it. But I do foresee a time where it's not so bad. Maybe I should knock on wood, though. But yeah, there's a lot of legwork in the beginning here, so it's cool to be a part of it now. You know, and getting plugged in. You know, at this time rather than, you know, later on and trying to catch up to speed with all the stuff because there's a lot of moving parts happening all at once right now and a lot of stuff in limbo, you know, from like the Google stuff moving over to Excel. And so it's an interesting time for sure, but I think we're well equipped to handle it and we've got a lot of great minds on it and there's a lot of talent in the group, so that definitely helps. And I'm glad you guys know, you know, that end of the deal because I have no experience with that side, so that's good, and that works out real well. So.
Well, and I'll say, you know, also what helps to make it exciting and makes it important to me, you know, we got.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I've said it before, but it's like, man, you know, there's kind of like a movement going on here. We've all, you know, we're all getting involved, and we see kind of the bigger picture, and it's rare to get this kind of enthusiasm, especially in volunteer work. So I agree, it is a unique team that we're throwing together, and it's just probably the perfect. You know, time and place, and I think it's pulling a lot of people into the hobby a little bit further, you know, and forcing us all to learn stuff that we wouldn't have learned before. And you know, I've been having a lot of fun, you know, just because this whole thing has been introducing me to a lot of different modes and things that I can do to reach out and. You know, use my privileges that I get as a ham radio operator, and I think it's definitely a unique group we have, and I'm loving it every second of the day.
Yeah, and one of the other things that I really love is the synergy. You know, we are you know, energizing off of each other and making things work. You know. Prime example of that is in like January, February, I came up with this idea to contact new hams. You know, go to the FCC database and grab new hams and say, "Hey, welcome aboard. Would you like to join ARPSC?" And I spent, I don't know how long, trying to get something written up. I had 42 iterations of a letter or, you know, whatever, and then Tim came along and Dave brought it up to Tim that, you know, we're thinking about doing something like that. And Tim throws together this brilliant postcard. And not only is it that I think it was brilliant, but it's working. You know, we're getting great response from that. And, you know, if it weren't for Tim coming into the team and building off that idea, we'd still be sitting at it. I'd still be sitting there going, what am I going to do here? How am I going to write this and make it good? So, you know, just awesome. That to me just keeps me up.
NAWRO.
Go ahead, Tim.
Well, thank you for all the kind words there, Mike, but it's, of course, a team effort, as we always say. And I am just wishing that the I think maybe we'll get it this week, but if the federal government could just open up. I've been on a hiatus on that, and we had a good run and a good roll, but it came to kind of a screeching stop there. And no matter which database I look at, an alternative one, there's this one ham that does have a really robust search engine, multiple types of ways, but that still didn't work. So at the end of the day, I got to wait for the FCC to open. But yeah, I appreciate all that. Over to John.
Yeah, that, you know, one of the, I actually sort of mentioned it to Dave too. I don't know what the date was, but like a long, long time ago, one of my first messages to Dave was that they should reach out to new hams, because when I first became a ham radio operator, there was nothing more that I wanted was to be able to use my radio. And, you know, as a new ham, you don't have any rapport with anybody on the radio, and, you know, so you don't really know anyone, and it's, you have a lot of dull conversations, and you just feel like a moron, you know. And so having something like a ARPSC to kind of pull you in right from the very beginning, give you somewhere to talk, you know, you can talk on the net, you talk about yourself a little bit, and to me that was a really good idea, is, because, you know, you, as a new ham, you really don't know where to go, you know. You don't know, you know, you throw out your call sign, but you don't always get a call back. And when you do, you kind of sometimes fall on your face. And so, I don't know. I love the idea. I think it's a great idea. And I, too, love the synergy of the group. You know, I think we all work really well together. And we're just a good, you know, group of guys. I guess, I don't know. Yeah, I think we all got lucky. Over to you, Mike.
Hey, VDG here. Yep. Yeah, I keep forgetting to say my partner, keeping it legal. You know, we don't hear that kind of lucky. You know, we lead this team as best we can, you know, and especially Dave is trying to lead this team as best he can. And I've been in organizations where, you know, the membership and or leadership team, you know, just has people on it that are just problematic. And we don't have any of that, knocking on wood. But it's really great. You know, it's just a good team. We learn from each other and we grow from each other. And a VDG over to Tim and our own, I don't remember what you call it, Tim, but over to you, Tim.
NAWRO. And the other thing, Mike, along the lines of that, I was surprised even before when I joined, the generations that it brings together, because I'm not sure in the exact age. One thing we don't have is age of our members, and we don't need it necessarily, but I think we've got 80-year-olds all the way down to, let's just say, 20-year-olds. Probably could go below that as well, and it kind of just bridges the gap like that. That was really awesome when I saw that. Over to John.
Yeah, I have to agree. We do have a pretty diverse bunch, and pretty much everybody tries to bring something to the table. And then, you know, with something like ham radio, there's a lot of different avenues for everybody to bring something to the table. And that just adds value to the whole group, you know. And so it kind of expedites the learning process. And, you know, I probably would have never dabbled with WinLink unless I, you know, got involved here. And now it's like one of my favorite things. So next I'd like to get into a little APRS. Hopefully I won't do that over and then what else? I really like this All-Star Node thing that I got set up. So I don't know. It's kind of neat because it kind of pushes me, nudges me in the direction of learning and continuous, you know, learning or whatever. And so it's a cool hobby, a cool group, and there's a lot of support in it. And hey, I don't know. That's pretty awesome. This is KE8WUO over to N8VDD.
Yeah, I agree. And one of the things about the learning curve, and I agree with that, is just so much because, you know, it opens new things up to me. I agree. WinLink, I've never done WinLink before, got into ARPSD, didn't know really what it was or anything about it, didn't really even care, you know. But, you know, learning more about this, I want to emphasize with the team is we have tools that we're going to use, and we'll use those tools. Some of them are going to be, you know, on the, you know, they're in the task book. They're mandatory. WinLink, got to learn WinLink. It's not that hard. Got to learn it. But there's other tools in there. Like, you learn WinLink and you can learn to send messages. Do you need to learn packet? No. If you want to learn packet, if that excites you like it does me, then you're going to do it. So it opens that, we're, you know, I want to open that avenue up for everybody. But I also want to make sure that everybody knows that, you know, you don't have to be a DMR guru. You don't have to do this and do that. You don't have to do digital. You know, this is still your hobby. Keep it your hobby. And, you know, the few things that you have to learn, you know, you know from the task book that you got to learn that. But, you know, I do want to make sure that people know that just because, you know, John wants to learn this aspect doesn't mean that everybody must. If you've got the interest in it, join with John. It is important to me that we have team members that cross bridges everywhere. So if we need packet, I can go, hey, John, you know how to do that. We need a packet message sent, and I know John will be able to do it because John's proficient in it. Do I need everybody on the team to be able to do that? No. As long as we have people that can do it, that's the important part. And so expand the hobby, expand the skill sets, and share them with us so that we can go, oh, that's cool, I'm glad you know that. Or I can go, cool, I want to learn that too. And both sides of the fence are good. Over to you, Tim.
Yeah, I'd like to echo that too, Mike. It's just knowing what each member can bring to the table, what skills they have and which skills they probably enjoy doing. And then we know, you know, who we got to assign where on any given, you know, future job coming up or anything like that. Yeah, that's pretty darn good. How are you, John?
Yeah, it's an interesting, you know, but you're absolutely right. And then it's also, there's so many modes and things that we reach out and touch that, like, you know, we won't always be able to monitor and, you know, and so, like, but, so a lot of it is just us having fun, you know, so, like, when we mention other modes and things like that that we're getting in is we're just exploring, we're seeing what we can play with, and, you know, that's kind of the nice thing about, you know, the group is it's easier to diversify, you know, our skill sets and to expedite the learning process. But by no means does any of this, like, you know, like you said, it's not mandatory training. It's not, except for the things in the task book, obviously. But yeah, I don't know. It's a cool thing. I definitely appreciate and happy to be along for the ride.
All right, gentlemen, I have made it back home a few minutes ago, and I am starving. So I'm going to cook up my lunch. I will continue to monitor here, but I'm going to just be monitoring and standing by for now. Good talking to you, fellas. This is November 8th. Victor, don't...
Good talking, Mike. You have a good lunch. This is N8WRO. I'll stay off to the side for a while. See you, John. You have a good one as well. N8WRO, be clear after you.
All right, Mike, Kim, great talking to you, and we'll talk again soon. This is KE8WUO. I'll be clear.
Hey, Kim. 8WRO. WAW.
Yes, sir.
Are you keeping track of the skill sets? I'd like to be down as good at watching cat videos.
I believe we have you down as a class 3 on that one, whatever that one is.
All right, just wanted to be sure. It's a skill I possess.
You and I alike in AWRO.
That's my catchphrase for anything that involves doing something I didn't start out to do on the internet for 3 hours. I had the intention of going on to do this. Next thing you know, I've wandered off fucking who knows what. I've been getting a lot of Dobermans in my feed lately. You know, you click on one and then it starts feeding you the same thing, which is cool because I've had a lot of Dobermans over the years, probably why I stopped on the first one. So I guess I'm an expert in that too. Doberman short videos. I'm an authority on that too. All right, anyhow, I was just heard you earlier. I was busy. I was going to throw a joke in, but it's all good. Seriously, joking aside, W8FU.
Oh, yeah, you got to have humor in there, too, and that is an important factor as well. Sounds good, Sean. We'll talk later. N8WRL.
KC8DFD calling W8RPM.
K8FCR, are you statewide one? Good afternoon, Tim. I'm doing all right. Getting through the afternoon traffic on 94, heading back home from the tech center. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing quite well. I was had initially planned to mulch the leaves with the Cub Cadet tractor, but it got a little breezy out there, and one thing led to another, and I never got out there. So might be a tomorrow thing for the leaf detail.
Yeah, the leaves are on my list to do as well at some point in the near future. I got to get home and take care of, I bought one of automatic watering systems for plants, a little quarter-inch tubing, so I got to get home and winterize that and get it all taken down before we get this cold weather coming through over the weekend and through next week. That's what this evening holds for me.
Yeah, I don't have it anymore, but I had a cabin up in Port Austin, I may have told you. I don't know. See, 2020 is when I got rid of it. Got it in 2011 or thereabouts. And it was always around the 1st of November. I had to make sure I get up there, meet the plumber, because he would blow the lines out and, shut the water off at the street level. And I always had to do that because, you know, the cabin wasn't heated during the winter. But actually, at this point, I'm glad I don't have to do that chore anymore.
Yeah, I hear you there. Got a cabin on the west side of the state over Baldwin Way. I'm heading up there this weekend and then also next weekend. We don't shut the water off totally. It's on a well, so we shut the well off and drain all the lines and then put antifreeze in all the pea traps, and that's our winterization. But it does actually get used through the winter, so we kind of keep it half open, but every time you leave, you got to make sure you drain everything, because same thing. The only way it's heated is by the wood stove we have. So if you don't drain the water, someone's going to come up to a busted pipe, and that's the last thing you want to deal with after a 3.5-hour drive.
Yeah, I hear you there. I got a brother-in-law that has one up in Port Austin as well, a nicer place. But they go the other route. They have an actual furnace up there. You know, it's a house. And they just they have a special thermostat in there where it does go down lower than normal, but it keeps it, above freezing, well above freezing. And then, of course, nowadays they have all the little gadgets that will let them know if there's, somehow it failed and that it's going. But because they do keep it, the plumbing on for winter visits, so they keep it there totally activated for wintertime fun, I guess.
That's nice. Port Austin's a nice area. I'm not sure what sort of winter activities you got Port Austin way. when we're going to our place in Baldwin, it's usually for deer hunting, and we do have an old, we used to have a 1965 Skidoo that someone would take out on the trails, and that thing finally died. It was my great-grandfather's, and the single cylinder engine finally just blew up on it, so then I got a little 1980s snowmobile up there. My uncle occasionally go up in the wintertime and hit the snowmobile trails over in Lake County. So they got a pretty nice trail system over there.
See, you got a point there. There's something to do, and you're right in Port Austin. I've been there before in wintertime. It's pretty much Deadville. It's a great place in the summertime. Even fall, it's fine, and you've got the lake there, but wintertime rolls in. It's only not all that much as far as full-time residents there. So, and with me, it was the ready-to-serve fee because you're on city water there, and the ready-to-serve fee was just outrageous. They had to do it that way, even for seasonal, because there's just no way they could afford to do the system if they didn't. So, but, yeah, you got a point there. Not a whole bunch going on in Port Austin in the wintertime.
Interesting. So city water, they have to charge it. They charge you a large fee for turning that off, or I didn't catch what that fee was you were talking about. But I guess it does make sense if you have a very small full-time resident base and lots of snowbirds that are coming and going. But you're going to have to find a way to make up the extra money somehow.
Yeah, that's the deal with them. They years ago they did a water main system from Bad Axe. They get the water from Bad Axe, which is kind of odd because then they also have the plant there in town, which serves Bad Axe. Crazy, but the gist of it is just that: is that the full time residents aren't enough to sustain it, and there's a whole bunch of seasonal residents, so. It's just your typical ready-to-serve fee is negligible. I forget what it actually was, but in this case, they had to make it substantial, and you pay it even though you're not there, and even though you blew out the lines in your cabin and you're not using it. So, that was part of the reason why I just said, I think I'll just sell and go. I'm done.
Yep. I get you now. That makes total sense. Into a money drain, especially if you have to pay that high fee during the years or the months you're not using it, and then you get to use it a couple times a year in the summertime and the fall, spring. You got to get back up there, open it back up, pay the plumber to come back out. Yeah, I'm sure if our property was that way with city water, it would it probably wouldn't have lasted in the family too long, but it's. I wouldn't say off-grid, but we have commercial power that isn't very reliable, but there is commercial power, and let's see, great-grandpa bought the property in the 50s, and then a well went in the 80s, so we're on a well.
So in a lot of sense, the well is better because you don't have to deal with that, but I do have some lots that I have still within, it's not city, it's a village. Within the village limits of Port Austin, they're vacant lots. So I don't know. My daughter might think about perhaps, building something on there. Our family has a long history of Port Austin. When they were little kids, we all went up there every year. We went up there. There's five cabins in the middle of the town. We always rented those cabins, and there was five families. And so a lot of history with Port Austin, just summer history like that. And, I'm looking forward to if she decides she wants to do that, then I would let her have the land and she can just go ahead and build something on it. It is, I don't know. It's a few feet away from the end of the water main, so we'd have to figure out, if we're going to extend that or not. I would imagine the answer would be yes.
That's some awesome family history up there. We're very similar with our place in Baldwin. It's been in the family for a while, and every one of our family members has made some special memories up there. So it's more valuable than just a piece of property or a structure on a piece of property. But that's a pretty pretty cool if you might put a structure up. Well, if it's not too far from the water main, you might as well go city water, but yeah, a well might be an option if you just want some well water. Only thing you got to worry about with seasonal properties and wells, because we've had this happen, is we shut up to our cabin one spring day to open it up after the winter, went downstairs to turn the well on, or the pump, and the pump was just gone. Someone took a sawzall and walked.
Boy, that's terrible. They just go ahead and steal it. And then, of course, if you want to do any kind of security, well, you have to keep your internet going to keep the cameras going or any kind of security. You know, it's terrible we have to do that. But, yeah, you never know. So I was going to ask, have you been recently up to Houghton Hancock? Have you done any of that up north, Upper Peninsula thing? On, you know, like kind of checking out the tech place, or no?
It is quite unfortunate. But to answer your question, I haven't been up to Houghton Hancock recently. I did take a trip up up to the UP middle of October, couple weeks back. I was kind of, well, southern UP. I started down in Menominee, and then we ran up south of Marquette in the Republic area, which, fun little radio history fact, Republic, Michigan is where our U.S. Submarine Command was based out of, because that was the best spot for the VLF radios that could reach around the globe. And the structure and the antenna is still there, so that's a cool little sight to see. But, 1 second, pause for timeout timer. I was going to play around with the roaming and see how far I could make it down US 2 with the radio, but had a buddy with me in the truck, and we hadn't seen each other in a couple years and kind of got lost in conversation. So a little radio silent that trip, but I'll be heading back up in the spring, actually. I'll be able to play around with that a little more.
Yeah, that'll be fun. You can start up 75 and hit the Mayo machine, Hackleberg, and, of course, Sault Ste. Marie way up at the top there. Well, I forgot about the new one, the Levering one, too. And Petoskey as well. You get lots of choices. This is pretty cool.
I agree. I was updating my code plug in the Rome Zone, before that UP trip, and the amount of machines that are on this DMR system is just impressive. I want to play around with this as I'm heading to my place in Baldwin. I'll take 75 up to 10 and then 10 west all the way across the state, and it looks like, according to the heat maps, I should get to just west of Clare before I lose coverage, so I kind of want to test that out on Friday as I'm driving up there. And then I got this VHF machine from Tom that I just got installed here that I want to do some signal checks with as well as I'm heading west across the state.
Yeah, speaking of Tom, he might be out here, I don't know, but he was going to Grand Rapids today. So I thought I might have heard from him. He may actually had to work, though. Maybe he didn't have time to talk on the road, but he's north, so he's got plenty of coverage out west. Grand Rapids itself, Lowell, Bancroft on the way out there. So, it's nice to kind of plan that ahead like you did. It's just like, well, okay. First, get them all in. Might as well. If you're on a mobile, you might as well put them all in, especially if you get the roaming. And then just kind of say, well, there's a machine there, so.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did on the VHF here. The roaming has been awesome. I've had some trouble with it, trying to find the right repeater when I've been heading towards St. Clair County Airport for the St. Clair County ARPS meeting. It'll bounce back and forth between
Mount Clemens or Burnside, and it just struggles in that area, that graphic corridor there. But on the VHF, I loaded a bunch of repeaters in there where at, and same with the UP trip.
Yep, that's the way to do it. Now, Mike, I forget, do you have P25 as well?
I do not have P25. That is one of the digital modes I've been wanting to get into. I've been looking at some of the used moto gear, kind of replace Tom's VHF that he's loaning to me. That's a DMR VHF with a P25 VHF. Because I know we have a decent P25 VHF network here in Southeast Michigan. But that's one that I want to get into for sure.
Yeah, I was fortunate that I think you know Wally. One of our guys, Wally, loaned me a VHF Motorola here, an XTO 1500, I guess. And but it's VHF only, so it does analog and P25. And apparently, if I got it right, it hits Detroit, which in turn hits Mount Clemens on UHF. So, yeah, I guess I got P25 now. So that's pretty interesting. It also does our 7.2 repeater as well for RNS here in Macomb.
That's pretty awesome. So I was looking at the P25 network. Is it, do they have just a repeater in Detroit and then remote stations in Mount Clemens? Because they all look like the same frequency. Or are there separate repeaters, kind of like the DMR system is set up?
I'm afraid I'm not going to be answering that one because I don't quite have the T-shirt yet. But maybe Sean's listening in AWRO.
KEAWUO.
There's a guy that can help. What's the layout of the P25 network here, Sean?
So, yeah, that was confusing to me when I first got into P25 is looking at the WHCMN website and seeing P25 where everything has an input, but there's only a couple that have an output. So the way that I understand it is they're basically all linked repeaters like the FBI network is, but there's receiving stations in all of the locations that say, you know, that don't have an output listed. So all that you have to do for the most part is put in the Detroit frequency, so the 147.33 for the output and the 147.93 for the input, and then the NAC, and that will work pretty much anywhere you are in the county, you know, the tri-county area kind of, and beyond. And like you said earlier, Southeast Michigan. And then there are a few UHF receiver sites, like one in Warren or one in Mount Clemens as well. So you can get on P25 on VHF, UHF, or 900 megahertz. You pretty much just need one frequency for VHF, one frequency for UHF, and then you're getting in all over the place. Hopefully that answers your question.
Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, that's awesome. Appreciate the explanation, John. Because it was a little confusing to me looking at the CMN website. But that makes perfect sense. So, I mean, my ideal setup would be something like an XTL 5000 with the Pro 3 handheld control head. But it's not quite as much as an ATX mobile, but it's still a decent chunk of change. Not ready to drop yet, but I'm glad to know a little bit more about the P25 system so I can kind of plan for what I should get when I want to get on P25.
Yeah, it's a nice system. It's a lot like the FBI system, you know, with everything linked. But it's nice because you don't have, like, if you go from Mount Clemens to Warren, you don't have to switch frequencies or channels. it just automatically, you know, votes to the, you know, Warren site. And then when you leave Warren to go to Detroit, it just starts picking you up in Detroit. So it's really, it's kind of reminds me of like the IP link for DMR, where you just travel along, you know, wherever you want to be, and it picks you up everywhere. It's a little bit different than the DMR thing, but it's, you know, it feels the same when you're driving around. So super, super cool system. Love to see it grow. And, yeah, over to you, Tim.
And I have to say the signal quality is, well, I guess the best. I mean, it's even better than DMR when DMR is working good. And when DMR is working good, it's pretty darn good. But, you know, the P25 conversations I've had, the QSO is, wow, quality is just really good. So there's that. Over to you, Mike.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there, Tim. I got exposure to P25 when I was in the UP on the statewide trunk system, the MPSES system. And as much as I love DMR, the quality that P25 brings is just, it's a step above, and I was quite impressed how they could get that. And just being a fan of digital voice mode, so of course I really enjoyed it. I just wish the subscriber units for P25 were a little more affordable, like DMR is becoming. But you know, you can, if you're savvy, I guess you can get into some of the used Motorola or Harris gear, and then, well, with Motorola, you can easily get the CPS for that with a Motorola online account.
Yeah, for sure. And the XDX 5000 would be a great way to get in there, you know, and they're not terribly expensive. It's crazy how they hold their value, you know, after all these years and all the abuse those radios have seen. But yeah, they're great radios. They get you on the network, and I would probably, you know, you really should look at where you live, because you might, and where you work maybe, you might, it's tough to decide whether, you know, you'd want a VHF one or a UHF. The VHF is probably broader, you know, like it's got a broader coverage, because there's more receive sites that are VHF. But if you're, you know, bouncing around between like Warren and Mount Clemens, you might like the UHF option. So it kind of depends. But yeah, those are great radios, and it doesn't have to be crazy expensive to get your foot in the door. I would nudge towards a mobile just for that extra power when you're, you know, especially if you can get VHF and get a mobile. That's probably what I would do if I was to, you know, do that route. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's a great system, the great radios, and I can get you the CPS if you need it, you know, whatever. But I've got a couple of radios for Anthony that I need to get to. So yeah, they're XTX 5000s, but they're his, so I gotta get in there and mess with those code plugs. And but yeah, they're great radios. So over to you, Tim.
WR.
Breaking station, go ahead.
Tim, I'm trying to get in here. You didn't leave a break and couldn't jump in here quick enough. Tim, did you say that just put in 147.33 and you can roam across the state? Is that, did I hear that correctly, or did I miss something in that?
No, that's, I don't think I said that. Hope I didn't.
I thought somebody was describing it that way, but wanted to make sure somebody didn't get the wrong impressions. There is receive sites for TJ's quite a few. I don't think you've got three of them, but anyways. I guess maybe I missed part of the conversation up and down in the hills over here by Muskegon, so. I'll back out of here and just listen.
QBSW. Sure thing, Jeff. Hey, Mike, he might have been talking about you. Say that again, what you were doing. Maybe that might have been the conversation he was listening to.
Been referencing the
It's K-E-A-W-U-O. I think you probably might have heard me talking about it because I was the one that mentioned those frequencies specifically. But I'm looking at the site now, and that's where I got the information. I know TJ does have other machines, but I don't have, you know, those locations and input frequencies. So I can only go by with what the WACMN website was. And he had mentioned that, you know, some of these sites on the WACMN don't have an input and an output frequency. So I was more or less just trying to describe why some of them don't have both frequencies listed is because they're receive-only type sites. And so that was kind of what I was getting at. But I would love to know more about any sites for P25 that will get you on WACMN that are not on the website because I don't have access to those. But I would love to. So, yeah, I'll send it back to SWR.
Okay, yeah, I might have missed part of what you said there. But, yeah, there's TJ's got the 14733 in Detroit, and it's got, I don't know, three or more receive sites, I think, one Mount Clemens and Novi, and seems like he's got one in her head, one in Southfield. That might be offline right now, but and then pretty much everything that's on the website on that stuff is what it is. I have a P25 repeater in Guilford up by Bay City, and I have the most received site on that in Clio. But yep. One of them things. Once you get into it, you find you like it. It does have a better audio quality than the P25, but it doesn't have a nice roaming feature like the P20 or the like the DMR does. Really think the roaming feature kind of sells stuff. So. Be able to drive around on that to ever change channels if you drive around a lot. I don't know who was all in here, but whoever goes to your next stop, pick it up. Keep it up, Sylvia.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. NHWRO. Hey, I don't have one in the mobile yet, but I'm just borrowing one Wally gave me, so it's a VHF. Looks like an old one coming out of a patrol car, that's for sure. I certainly recognize the mic, so good sounding tonal quality, all that stuff. So, all right, guys, I think I might jump out. I see the boss is doing stuff, so I'm going to take a look at it. I'll send it over to you, Mike, NAWRO. This will be my final. I will listen out.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Pleasure talking to you as always. I appreciate the radio recommendations. I think I'm leaning more towards mobile VHF. I do live in St. Clair County, but commute to Warren pretty much on the daily.
All right, well, this is K-E-A-W-U-O. Yeah, when you get the setup going, let me know, and I can give you any other advice or frequencies, you know, especially for the ones that aren't listed. Mainly, there's only one that I know that's not listed, and that's the UHF input for Warren and Mount Clemens. But other than that, I will leave it to it. This is KE8WUO. I will be clear.
KE8FCR. I'll be clear as well.
The output frequencies for the remote receive sites, there's nothing there. It's just the receive site. So you just listen to the repeater output. It's just a remote receive site. Goes back to Detroit on a T1 line. So just there for the users on handhelds and that are out in the outlying areas to be able to still access the repeater as long as they can hear it. So pretty much what the job of them do. Anyways, you know, Sean dabbling in the UHF. Most of the stuff on the system is VHF. But Sean has got some UHS stuff, and there's some 900 too, so. Well, and what you want to play with? Hey, 7-3. KBNSW.
Hey, DIC, radio check.
KF8DRC, this is KF8DPZ. 35x9, you're coming through loud and clear there, Jack.
I just want to know because I was on 675 CMRS, nobody answered. And I was on the Warren FBI repeater, nobody answered either. That's why I just want to know if this radio is working or not. Well, thank you very much, sir.
No problem, Jack. Anytime. Name yours, Cliff. Yes, we've spoken a number of times before. But I got to bounce because I'm Dower Dash and I got to drop an order off like right now. Southside 73 Studio, clear after your final. KF8DPZ.
Talking to you. Take care. And don't work too hard. KF8DIC.